Hello, and welcome to the Antioch Fort Worth Weekly Podcast. At Antioch, our desire is to cultivate a passion for Jesus and his purposes on the earth. To connect with us in community, partner with us through giving, or visit on a Sunday morning, please visit antiochfortworth.com. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon from lead pastor Jamie Miller.
All right. How's everybody doing? Looks like two services are appropriate for next week. And so 9 and 10:45, I probably am going to go to both, just for the record. The prayer and fast stuff, guys, that's one of the culture things around here that just helps to shape us, helps us to help each other. I'm probably with Graydon. I wouldn't do a bunch of prayer and fasting if it wasn't with somebody else, and I could be talked out of it in a heartbeat if it wasn't for you guys doing it and us all doing it together. You want a hamburger? Yeah. Chips and salsa? Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, well, we're starting a new series today, and I'm excited about this. We've been working on it for a while now, and it's called Acts of the Holy Spirit. And then and now. So Acts of the Holy Spirit, then and now. And excited about that because since the beginning of the church many years ago, we just said, hey, we want to be the church like we read about in the book of Acts. That just has always stirred my heart. And not just like be an ancient church, but to have the spirit, the devotion, heart of worship and prayer, and caring about each other and generosity and all that stuff, you know, people getting saved and healed and delivered, all that stuff getting worked out in us, you know, and there really is, because of the Spirit of God, there's like an overlap. And I'm going to touch on that. Same Spirit brings eternal life, brings eternal love into our hearts. Same Spirit of God working in them, working in the church through history, working in us today. So we're a part of a story, and I'm just calling this message Inside the Wonderful Story. And just helps us to orient to the story of God, and that we're a part of we're not just coming up with stuff. We hopped on a moving train that's been going for a long time, right? And so this is God's story, and we use this slide a lot to just as a reminder to go, yeah, we're a part of this story that God's redeeming the world, making promises to Abraham after the fall to redeem all nations through his family. And Jesus Christ comes, and then Luke, we're looking at Acts, but Luke Acts is actually one kind of author of 52 chapters of the New Testament. So that's 20% of the chapters, but it's like 27% of the New Testament, Luke and Acts together. This one Gentile, he's the only non-Jewish writer in the Bible. You know, so it's interesting. And so he writes, his gospel is up to the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. And then Acts comes along, and it's picking up for the church where the Spirit is poured out. And it tells that early part of the story of the church. But then you roll the clock forward through the church in history, and it's us. We're on the stage, as it were, under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Kind of conceive of this as like five acts of the play, and we're living in light of what's gone before, and we're living lives that point toward what's coming. I should go ahead and do it. We're a signpost people. That's who we are. We're pointing toward the way things should be and will be, and making things right. So that's what's going on here as we come to the acts of the Holy Spirit. And I want to give a paradigm here this morning for reading Acts, a paradigm. And it's kind of, it hit me, and it hit us on the sermon planning team just as we're looking at the very first verse. So it's kind of a transition verse in Acts. In my former book, Theophilus, he's referring to the Gospel of Luke. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And so it just hit me as I'm just conceiving of this. And I want to just share this with everybody so that we can, let's read Acts and reread Acts. Let's read Luke and reread it with this kind of in mind. This is what Jesus began to do. It's the Gospel of Luke. And then he comes along to Acts, and then that's the church in Acts is what Jesus continued to do. That's what's implied in verse 1, what he began to do and to teach. And so now he's going to explain what he continued to do and how the church continued to walk out and express the ways of Jesus. And that's what we see in the church in history today and in the future. It's what Jesus continues to do. So what he began, what he continued, and what he continues to do, right? Now, there's some problems, and so we want to keep our eyes on, we're looking to Acts, we're looking to Jesus, all of that. But the problem is, and there's a big problem, and it's sin. Sin is the problem. It's us. We get self-centered and want to order all of life around us. And we get into lots of trouble when we do that, right? And so, and there's powerful things that are built into our ways of thinking, philosophy. One of the real mile markers in our history is the Enlightenment, where reason just becomes like, we can think it, we can figure it out, and we're just going to think and figure things out. But we know that if you follow history from the Enlightenment, and just reason is king, but last century and the 20th century, more people were killed and murdered and died and different kinds of genocide and world wars than in the previous 19 centuries combined. So that's with a lot of reasoning, a lot of enlightened thinking. But we can't get there without God. We need the mind of Christ. We need the mind of Jesus. Any of us can get into a mess quickly apart from the Lord. So that's part of the problem there. So what we want to do then is live in life in the overlap of what Jesus began, what the early church continued, and what we're continuing to do now. And so this is a couple ways of expressing this. Go ahead and hit that slide. So it's like the acts of Jesus are continuing. He began, the early church continued, and we continue. And if we can live as much as we can in the overlap, that's where the life is. That's where the living is. And so hit it again. So that's the acts of Jesus in the center, but that's also the acts of the Trinity. Whenever we see Jesus, think Father, Son, and Spirit together. And so, but that's also the poured out Spirit then is for us to experience the acts of the Holy Spirit then, but also now. So there's a connection of us in the eternal life and love of the Lord that's shared Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the more we can live there, the more impact, blessing, the kingdom coming, the love of God being known, the gospel being shared, us being the church that God wants us to be, where Jesus is lifted up and his life and light shoots like fire to the city and to the region and to the nations as Jesus is lifted up. So that's kind of, let's try to read Acts like this. Let's try to see, what were they doing? How did they express the way of Jesus? How do they do it? And I think to actually live like this, it's going to take an ongoing conversion of our minds, of our hearts, of our souls, of our emotions. It's not just you believed back when you were 12 and now you're just kind of waiting on heaven coming. It's like God actually wants to transform us. He wants to get all of us. He wants us to keep being shaped and molded and changed. That's why this spiritual practices, it's so important. It's an ongoing journey. It's the invitation to Jesus isn't just, hey, you can have a spiritual experience with the Lord and then go to heaven one day. That, by the way, is not the way it's going to be preached here. It's the kingdom of God coming with power in our lives and touching and changing the world around us. Acts 1 is like a preparation for the whole book, you know, and so we're just doing some big brush strokes here, some themes as we go through Acts and touching on some themes today. But here's the main thing I'm trying to say. God wants us to be his people together inside the wonderful story, in the power of the Spirit, being witnesses to Jesus from here to the ends of the earth. Okay, that little synopsis there of Acts 1. So here we go. I'm going to read the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 1. And if you would, go ahead and stand up. We do this to honor the reading of the Word of God. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. And after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Okay, so we're going to run through these themes. We're doing them quickly. But the first theme is right there in the first verse. It's the ministry of Jesus continues. I've already been making this point, but it's important for us to consider, what was Jesus doing? You know, what was he doing? Well, he came, and you find all that out in Luke, that he came, the incarnation. God became flesh. And so he's living out God's life as humanity was intended. Like, he comes and lives the life that we couldn't, perfectly sanctified to the Father, without sin, representing us, taking on our humanity, representing us to God perfectly. So that's what he was doing, and all of the healing and making things right and casting out demons and all of that, that was all part of what Jesus was doing. So we consider that, and all that stuff, and we think about it in the light of, what does that mean for the church? Where are there overlaps? We consider what Jesus began to teach, all the teaching about the kingdom of God, all the teaching about sowing seeds that land on different kinds of soil, sowing seeds that land in our hearts, and they're nurtured or they're get crunched out and taken away, snatched away, all that kind of teaching. We consider what Jesus says. I put in your notes there, you don't have to look at it right now, but Craig Keener, in his commentary on Acts, gives 22 direct connections between Luke and Acts. It's like there's all these direct connections. You know, Mary's filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus comes inside of her by the Holy Spirit. And then the church waiting there in the womb of Israel is filled with the Holy Spirit. Just connections like that. That's for all you guys that want to do extra credit study. You can press in there. Okay, so that's the first theme. It's just that the ministry of Jesus continues. The second one is suffering and resurrection. Not a lot of amens there, but that's what the way of Jesus is. He never promises us that we won't suffer. He doesn't promise that there won't be trials and tribulations. You know, to enter the kingdom of God, we enter through trials and trouble. We've been praying this week for the persecuted church. In fact, the International Day to Pray for the Persecuted Church is coming up on November 5th. You know, and our brothers and sisters around the world are suffering in jail, imprisoned, persecuted, and it doesn't mean God's against them. So it's like we live in such almost a hyper-obsessed about comfort. Like, if it's outside of my comfort zone, or it's all about you, it's all about me, right? And Jesus comes along and says, "Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me." And so the call here is like it's not just believe. It is to believe, but it's to actually, we're called to be disciples. We're called to follow. And so there's trouble, there's trials, but there's his resurrection life inside of us, his resurrection life. And so, the parallels between Jesus and Peter, the parallels between Jesus and Stephen, between Jesus and Paul, you know, all of those things, you can just see that what happened to Jesus and what he began to do and teach is getting worked out in his people, in the church. And it's still getting worked out in us. It's still getting worked out in our brothers and sisters around the world. We are one family, no matter what anybody tells you, we are one family with our brothers and sisters around the world. Next thing, preaching the kingdom of God. That's there in verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself and he appeared to them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. So this is huge. I think just in preaching in general, like if you're not hearing me talk about the kingdom like pretty frequently, then I'm getting off track. If I'm not lifting up Jesus, I'm getting off track. If I'm not preaching that Jesus Christ is declared with power through his resurrection from the dead to be the true King and Lord of the world. He reigns in power. He is the King, and he preaches the kingdom of God. That's what it's time. The kingdom is here. The reign of God has come in me. You know, it's just, whoo, we leave one kingdom of darkness and we come into another kingdom. That's what it means to be saved and to keep on being saved. Our ongoing conversion is living life here, out of darkness into life, out of death and into life. That's what this kingdom is about. And it's a kingdom that's making things right in the world. It's not just us sitting back and was this entertaining or not. I've got a purpose. I've got a destiny. I've got a mission that God's calling me to, and it's to join him in his reign. What did he do? That's how we're to live. We're to live the way he lived. He lived in constant. I was with some guys the other day doing a teaching at another church, and I was just talking about, because some people struggle with the idea of listening to God, with the idea of hearing God. But if we're going to follow Jesus, that's all he did. Like he said, I only say what I hear the Father saying. I can't do it that well, but I'm in process and I want to. I only say what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. So just huge. That's where we want to live, is in the kingdom, preaching the kingdom, in the power of the Spirit. And that's the key, right? Verse 8, he says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And so what all is that about? It's like the very life and love and presence of God is poured out on us by the Holy Spirit. You know, so the intimacy, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit for intimacy, I mean, maybe more than anything else, to know the love of God, to live life in the circle of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's for us. That's what God has done for us in Christ. And so I pronounce love over you by the power of the Holy Spirit, forgiveness over you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and acceptance over you by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants me to proclaim and what he's done for you in Christ. He's done it all. And it's just grace for us. And some of us need to hear that word this morning, that you're loved, that you're accepted, and that you're forgiven. I was reading something this morning. For some reasons, we ordered some books, John Mark Comer, somebody, they sent John Mark Comer's new book to me, and it's released on January 24th, 2024. Like, and so I started reading it this morning. It's like really encouraging, and I felt like once I said, I can't say where I got it, then I had to say it. I've done that before with you guys, and you're like, no, you got to say it. But it was just encouraging. And there was this line in there. A guy asked a monk in a monastery one time, what do you guys do in there all the time? Well, what are you doing in that monastery? And the answer was profound to me. We fall down and we get up. We fall down and we get up. And that was the answer. Just we keep falling down, but we keep getting up. And I don't know who that's for. I know it's for me. But it's the getting up. And come on, get up one more time. Just keep getting up. And his mercy, I was praying this morning, Father, let this morning bring me word of your unfailing love. Psalm 143, verse 8. Just again, Lord, the mercy that's fresh and new for this day. And so, amen. Sometimes I imagine that when the Holy Spirit came, can you imagine? They're there. The Holy Spirit's being poured out. And maybe it's not exactly when the sermon was, but just somewhere in there, John going, Peter, he's here. He's here. He's here right now with us. He's here again. I just love thinking about that. Another theme is to be witnesses to Jesus from here to the ends of the earth. That's a theme for us. That's a theme for the early church. That's a theme through the church in history. Different levels of success in that, you know, and we're a mix. The church in history is a mix. We're a mix, right? Most of us. It's a joke. We're a mix. You guys, amens are officially released and free. I know this is challenging, but I need your help. So being witnesses, that what does that mean? That's like us being able to have a revelation of what we know about him, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he will do. All of that. If I squeeze Micah hard enough, that Jesus revelation comes out and he bears witness. And that's what we're called to do, is to be witnesses. All I know is, I remember an old friend, Jeff Allred, came and talked to us about bearing witness and giving testimony to Jesus. And he says, if you can't do anything else, at least do all I know is witnessing. All I know is I was a mess and Jesus saved me. I was messed up and lost and he found me. All I know is Jesus did this, you know, and we can all, you know, join in and participate. And from Jerusalem to all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, and certainly Fort Worth, from there, where are we at? We're at the ends of the earth. But praise God, he's calling us to be an epicenter, life-giving, multiplying, reproducing, Christ-manifesting, Father's love, receiving Holy Spirit-empowered church. He's calling us to be Antioch, like in the Bible, an epicenter, reproducing, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church. That's who he's calling us to be. And Jerusalem, if you think about it, Jerusalem, it's a hard word at one level. That's where they killed the Lord, right? That's where he was murdered. So you're going to be witnesses in Fort Worth, in Jerusalem and Judea, you know, so the and Samaria. So the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. We're going to go be witnesses to these people that are hated. And then to the ends of the earth. Like, that's where all the Gentiles are, you know, to the ends of the earth. And so there's a lot loaded into that. You're going to be witnesses. And it's not all easy. It's not all just a cakewalk, you know, but it's the best life. Living life with the Lord, falling down, getting up is the best life. Amen. So the next theme is that Jesus is the ascended and returning Lord. Now, we try to do it here, but I don't know that part gets preached as much as it needs to be. It needs to be preached into our lives more, that he's on the throne. He is the ascended Lord. He is the returning Lord. He's coming again. And so we're looking for him like they saw him be ascended. He's coming again. It says it plainly there. He is the ascended Lord, and we're called to then orient all of life to Jesus, who is the King and who is the Lord. Then there is the priority of prayer. And so down in those next few verses there, the apostles return to Jerusalem. And, you know, at the end of Luke, it says the ascension story, and then it says they stayed continually at Jerusalem at the temple praising the Lord. And so then here they are, the apostles all gathered together in verse 14, and they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so there's about 120 of them there, and they're praying to the Lord. They're seeking the Lord. They're joining together constantly in prayer. And it's good. I mean, even these next 3 days, I think hopefully I'm going to be at all. It's like, what service are you going to? Both. You know, I'm going to try. I love praying with you guys. Again, there's just something about, I was on the listening to the Lord piece a minute ago, but I believe the Lord speaks to us in prayer meetings. If you go to a prayer meeting where I'm at, I'm going to have my journal there because I'm listening to your prayers. And we just create an atmosphere, an environment where we say, Lord, we want to pray your will. And so you're hearing from your brothers and sisters, you know, every now and then there's a clank, you know, and it's like less amens after that. You know, if you're praying a bunch and nobody's amening, like just let's get on to the next flow. Kind of pull back a little bit. But it's like when that amen is flowing, you know, it's like, you know, that you're hearing like, hey, this is the heart of the Lord. You know, his spirit is in us, and it's, we're praying out what needs to be bound and what needs to be loosed. Our prayers matter. So let's join together constantly during these next few days in prayer. And then finally, the connection of the theme of the connection to Israel's story. And so Peter stands up and, you know, what happened to Judas, he tells about that. And there must be now another apostle to be chosen. Well, why is that? Why another apostle? It's because Jesus is coming not to replace Israel like that, but rather to just fulfill the story of Israel, to reconstitute the Jewish people along together with the Gentiles, nations of the earth, around himself. And so the 12 apostles then is a direct connection to the 12 tribes of Israel, right? So he's reconstituting the story around himself. And he says this in verse 21, therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us. Isn't that wild? You know, you watch The Chosen and it seems like there's just 12 guys. I know they got the filming stuff. Maybe there's a few others in the crowd, but there are some guys that were with them the whole time. It's just amazing. The whole time, beginning from John's baptism to the time that Jesus was taken up from us. I bless The Chosen, guys. I mean, that's not a critique of the show. I'm encouraged by that. Beginning from John's baptism to the time that Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And we talk about that a lot, but the resurrection changed everything, right? So that's the key turning point, is that he's raised from the dead and all that he said and did and taught is true and vindicated. So, you know, they're in this time of waiting. So Jesus is raised from the dead. He walks on the earth with them for 40 days, eats meals and all of that. And then he's ascended. And then there's 10 more days before the Spirit is poured out at Pentecost. And this is wild, but I had not heard this until a couple of weeks ago. But there's a thing that Jewish people do called counting the Omer. Counting the Omer. It's in Leviticus 23. And what would happen is between the Feast of First Fruits, they wave the first bit of the harvest, and then there's 49 days in between that feast and the Feast of Pentecost, the resurrection and the pouring out of the Spirit. 49 days. And so the Jewish people would meet, they bless each other, and then somebody would stand up and say, it's the 14th day of the Omer, and count the days like that. And then they would read Psalm 67, which is interesting. We're going to read it in just a second, and with eyes. That's what they do still to this day. And it makes sense that they were probably counting the Omer in these 49 days between the resurrection, and the pouring out of the Spirit. And so let's just look at that together. Look at Psalm 67. And check it out. You can't see all this in the Hebrew, but there's in Psalm 67, there's 49 words. And there's 7 verses. And they focus on a verse each week, and they say the word for the day. It's the 14th day, and the word is whatever. It just gives me chills almost. And so here we go. Every night this is being read. This is what they would have been reading as they're waiting on the Spirit to be poured out. May God be gracious to us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on the earth and your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and you guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest, and God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that the ends of the earth will fear him. Praise the Lord. It's powerful. And the connection to the story, it's why we keep trying to learn and grow and understand more of the story ourselves. All of those things are just ways that we're looking for the church. Then all of these different themes I've been highlighting are ways that the church is then joining in with the words and the actions of Jesus. And so we're going to be looking, look for it. Did my voice just crack? So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? And I want to just remember the overlap. That's the first thing. We want to live life in that overlap, that acts of the Holy Spirit then and now, because there's a whole lot of stuff that we can do and just be busy in church and in our lives and be disconnected from the power of the Trinity. They would be disconnected from the power of the Holy Spirit. He's still there, but there's a lot we can do and get running around. We want to continue to do what Jesus began and the early church continued and our brothers and sisters down through history. I mean, there's so much wonderful brilliance in the church down through the centuries that if you've been in a history-less tradition, that's what I grew up in. We only identified with the early church and missed out on a lot of what happened, you know, since then. But there's so much rich wonder, you know, that we would be Anabaptist influence, that we would be Trinitarian Orthodox, Catholic mystic, John Wesley, Great Awakening, you know, the Reformers. We'd be influenced by all of these things. The Second Great Awakening, that was the tradition that I grew up in, out of the Church of Christ, and be influenced, though, by the Keswick movement in England, the deeper life, the Holy Spirit life, the surrendered life, the Holy Spirit baptized life, all of that, just that we would, and, you know, the deal is the more we surrender, the more we experience the Lord. Whatever language you put on it, and it doesn't have to have a certain language, and that's not the key thing that you do. It's, Lord, I'm here again. I bow my knees, I surrender. And so what that means for us, the second thing that is living in the overlap, means ongoing conversion. It means I want to keep getting my heart and life stirred by the Lord. I want to keep walking deeper into that surrender and acknowledging where we need help. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you in this part of my life. And it's just, how do I say it? It's not business as usual and Christianity as usual. It's got to affect us in our hearts and lives. thanks, Raven. You know, I was reading 1 John the other day, and just that last phrase stood out to me. Like, it almost seems weird. 1 John, he's writing his letter, and then the last thing he does is say, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols." And it's the idols in our culture that we, this happened years ago. I was flying back from Thailand and we'd just been on the streets in Bangkok, seeing people bowing down to idols. Like, oh man, that's an idol. Can everybody see that? That's an idol. That's a god, you know. But I was flying back to America and I thought, you know, it's not just the poor Thais that are dealing with idolatry. It's just, we can't see ours as well as we, when you go to another culture, it's easier to spot the other culture's idols. And so, you know, it's harder for us to see mammon, the power, the principality that's behind money. It's harder for us to see that, how we get sucked in to that. It's harder for us to see Aphrodite and sex and sexual, it's harder for us to see that, how we get pulled into that. And it's harder for us to see Mars, the god of violence. You know, it's harder for us to see, when we get pulled in cultural narratives and stories to where we think, like, that's okay. Like, Jesus is okay with that. And it's an idol for us. And so just huge. And I mentioned it earlier, the obsession with comfort, the way I want things. And it just, we're conditioned to just think that's the way it should be all the time. And Jesus is coming and saying, I want you to learn how to love in the kingdom of God. I want you to love one another. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to serve one another and bless one another and care for one another. And dear children, let's keep ourselves from idols. You know, it's for me, it's for all of us. Help us, Lord, help us. Yes, and then the last couple things, trust in Jesus is put our hope and our hearts in his hands. When we read through Acts, we're going to be challenged by the way they were living. But I just want to say there's grace. Yeah, there's grace. And there's grace. And there's empowering, his empowering presence to help us navigate what he's wanting to lead us into. But it's not business as usual. It's not just the same old stuff. He wants us to trust in him, to lean in with him. You know, to trust in Jesus is a call to change. It's a call to, you know, and if we're growing, we're going to change. But change challenges us. And so there's this cycle. You know, we want to grow, but growing changes us, it challenges us, but that leads to trust in Jesus, which then leads to more growth, which then leads to challenging, changing things. And so we are called to trust in the Lord again. And so there's just that process there. And then finally, what does it mean for us is praying it in. You know, let's pray it in. Let's pray our way forward. Let's pray things that are not and pray into them. Let's release things in the Spirit. Let's bind things that need to be bound in our lives and in the world in prayer in the name of Jesus. And you guys, we started in a prayer meeting. That's how we got going. It was a prayer meeting on a Friday night, 3-4 hours every week. And we started seeing the power of God. But we didn't believe in the power of God at the time. Not really, but we thought prayer was a good thing. We loved to worship. And so we started praying and, you know, people get better. You know, Susie, we were praying for her a couple of weeks and she totally healed. You know, and finally in that process connected the dots that God answers prayer. And so we want to lay the tracks in prayer for the mission of God's train to be able to move forward. That's the way it happens. Two realities, one in the place of prayer and one when we see it happen. And so, you know, miracles, wonderful stories down through the years. And the Lord is calling us to be that kind of people, to lean in during this time, to continue in the way of Jesus, in what he was doing and teaching, and that like the early church, we would join in that flow. And let's read Acts this way and let ourselves be changed and challenged to trust Jesus more and to grow. Let's stand up. Lord, help us to respond to you today. Ministry team, come on up if you would. Band's coming up as well. And as I was praying, you know, just how do we respond to this word? I think it's ongoing conversion, that we would just lean into that Well, what is the Lord wanting to do in me? As you're hearing this, what kind of prayer needs are being stirred up in your own heart, first of all, but also, like, where's the block? You know, is there a block that's hindering? You know, and it could be just as straight up, as simple as fear. I'm afraid if I do an ongoing conversion with the Lord, it's going to, I don't know where that's going to lead me. But I'm telling you, His life is the best life. What He wants is the best, the very best for you. He made you. And so it could be fear. It could be unforgiveness. You know, is that a, you know, the way unforgiveness blocks us is that it cuts our heart off from being tender with other people. We've been hurt in the past and we're trying to protect ourselves. But we forgive, the Lord opens up our hearts in a fresh way to other people. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And maybe it's just disappointments with God, just some kind of disappointment or some kind of way of thinking that I've just gotten kind of consumed with, and I'm not open in a fresh way to what the Lord wants to do. And it will challenge us. But the Lord is good. It could be a struggle with sin, right? Just a straight up, maybe addiction, a struggle with sin. And the Lord wants to, you know, we fall down, we get back up. We fall down, we experience His mercy in a new, fresh way. He's not done with you. He's not done with anybody. And you haven't messed up so bad that you can't just right now, in this moment, just trust in the Lord. Trust in the grace that He's brought. It's not you working it out and being perfect. That won't work. We can't perform our way into everything being right. We need grace. We need mercy. So, and if that's you just coming to Jesus, like the real thing, like not just believing, tipping your hat to Him, but I want to follow Him. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If that's you, and again, always, if you have any kind of prayer need, please don't leave without getting the frontal fill up, but just get somebody to pray or that's around you close by. Hey, would you pray for me? Father, just meet us in this time. Lord, change lives right here and now in the name of Jesus. We just commit ourselves to You, to an ongoing conversion of our minds and hearts and lives, souls and emotions, our inner life. Change us, Lord. Have Your way in us as Your people. We love You. Come, Holy Spirit, and do that work which only You can do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's respond to the Lord, you guys. Go for it. Now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. Right now in this moment,